A lady of many talents. She recently invented a talking bookcase, which speaks volumes. It's not going to get any better than that. Front-loaded it with her best stuff. She leads a glamorous showbiz lifestyle, and only last night she had dinner with Lionel Richie. Yes. During which she ate mince, rice, and three kinds of gravy. Mel has recently returned from a six-month stint in Mamma Mia, one of Ealing's premier pizza restaurants, where she was admired for her shaved Padano, stuffed crust and sloppy Giuseppe. On my left and on his uppers is Dave Mountfield. Bodybuilder Dave, he built it from cream and Turkish delight. Today he is dressed in a taffeta waistcoat with matching rosette and lilac espadrilles, which contrast bravely with his pea-green socks and his lemon thong.
Seriously, Dave, what on earth are you wearing?
My wife's away and I don't know how to operate the washing machine.
You have a washing machine?
You have a wife. Now, on my right, or on the audience left, or for you at home, it depends. It depends where you're facing the radio. But it's on. They'll be on. Unless it's in mono, in which case, fine. Anyway, look, they're sat over there towards the back. It's our wonderful in-house band on pianoforte, the flashing fingers of the glorious Jason Hazley. And next to him, the swinging, simple, ape-like hands of the drummer, Mr.
David. David Reed.
David Reed, of course. I knew. Ahoy, well met. Howdy do, and please come in.
Our door is always open, and it's time to now begin.
The script is writ, the mics are on, but after this rendition,
you'll seriously wonder how this nonsense ever got commissioned.
Dodgy David Mountfield on the make from dusk till dawn, often undercover and always overdrawn. Goes by several different names in case the tax man calls, but his wife still calls him Poppet because of his tiny minty balls.
That is not true. Well, the minty bit isn't.
We are a rum bunch, a top troop, a scintillating supergroup.
A thoughtless thong of thespians who think they're doing fine.
Just a loose-knit lump of half-cup fools whose talent pool is minuscule.
A swathe of sozzled songsters who scarcely know their lines. Sophisticated Melanie was cautioned by the police when recently attending the christening of her niece. She ate 20 pickled eggs and half a jar of mayonnaise, then cartwheeled naked through the church and belched the Marseillaise. We are the rum bunch, reprobates, running wild and running late.
A cretinous collation of chances, quacks and crooks.
We'll muck about and just make do, we'll muddle on, then follow through.
A muddy mob of mountebanks who never say their please and thanks.
A confluence of incompetence with uncontrolled incontinence.
An amateurish armada of Amdram ahead avant-garders.
Nomadic no-hope Bedouins, we are past our best and passing wind. Time to end the chorus and just
get on with the show.
As part of the BBC's regional outreach programme, and because our producer was able to get a group discount on stab vests, this week's show comes to you from the once great northern industrial town of Grissock.
Now, Grissock certainly suffered a downfall after the closure of its pit 20 years ago, but it's been revived through foreign investment. The museum has been built with a very generous and unexpected donation from the Kuryskaya Nuclear Waste Facility in Irkutsk.
Yes, very philanthropic.
Yeah, and it is our pleasure and privilege to bring our show today to you from the brand new Zhakonolit Opaznyevye Shtezhny function suite. And my Russian is pretty weak, Mel, but what is that?
Oh, I think it translates as bury the dangerous rods or something.
Well, our guest this week is the wonderful Vicky Pepperdine. And she grew up here.
Hang on, is it Pepperdine or Dean?
It's just a dark Pepperdine. I'm not totally sure.
She might be Italian. It might be Pepperdine. Shall I go and see if there's a moped in the car park?
No.
It might be that the pronunciation of a name is different from the spelling. Because, like, for instance, my surname is spelt Fanshawe Chumley, but pronounced Hazley.
Oh, imagine having a surname that no one quite knows how to pronounce.
Ladies and gentlemen, we here at Rumbunch Light Opera and Heavy Drama are delighted to introduce our guest, the glorious Vicky Pepper.
Hi there.
lovely to have you here.
Oh, thank you. No, it's great, great to be here.
Extremely honoured.
Hello there. So, sorry, how did you, Justin, how did you say my name just then?
Just as it should be.
Which is?
Vicky.
And the rest?
Pepper.
Yes?
It was 50-50, isn't it? Dean.
Stein.
Ah, yeah, right, yes, that's exactly what I meant to say.
Well, then why didn't you say that, you know, with respect? I mean, do you know how long I've been performing on radio and television?
Well,
don't answer that. You know, and still no one gets my name right. I mean, I've won awards, not obviously for spelling my name. I suppose I'll have to do the song.
Okay.
It's Dan, Pepper Dan, like a fine white wine. Not Dean, that's just unseemly, just mean and quite beneath me. Pepper Dan, like the surname Shine. Don't call me Dean, that is obscene, and I will surely break your spine. If you dare mispronounce it, you commit a heinous crime. It's a Dean and not a Dine, and I will scream if you demean me. Pepper Dan, don't cross the line, don't make me wail, don't make me whine. It's Vicky Pepper Dan, Dan, Dan. Dan, Pepper Dan, the name is mine, all mine. Don't you dare Pepper Dean me, you'll insult me most of. Underline it, countersign it, and genuinely the bottom line. It's Vicky Pepper Dan, Dan, Dan. And don't you forget it.
Wonderful Vicky Pepperdine there.
Oh.
Do tell us, what was it like growing up in Grissock?
Well, it was very much an idyllic childhood, Justin, sort of playing barefoot underneath the washing lines strung between the back-to-backs, training kestrels to bake parkin, bathing every night in a tin clog. I mean, truly, you know, I was blessed to have spent such years here.
Your accent is barely noticeable now.
Yes, I went away to school in Surrey when I was three. Never came back.
Oh, but you can do the accent for the purposes of the radio drama.
Oh, I'm not sure if I could now.
So we have a group of southerners all doing unconvincing, if not offensive, northern accents for a play.
Has that ever been a concern for Radio 4?
my dad's part Lancastrian.
Really?
Well, he's called Ian.
Mel, it's going to be fine. I can act it, yeah? I mean, our friends in the north, they weren't genuine northerners, were they? I mean, they're James Bond and Doctor Who, innit?
Yeah, Justin, mate, they're good actors.
Mel, please. I went to drama school.
And did they teach you a northern accent?
Not on the day I went.
I'm from Yorkshire.
Are you?
Yeah. Can't you tell by my accent?
Well, I tend to switch off whenever you actually talk.
I can retrieve Miss Pepperdew's accent for you if you like.
You can?
Yeah, it's quite a common thing when you spend any time down south, you become...
Civilised?
No, the word is tainted, you know. You start picking up your H's, acting rudely towards strangers, playing the harp, wearing underwear, all the hallmarks of a civilisation. You need to coax the northern soul out. Just listen closely to me, Ms. Peppermint. What's that, Casper?
It's a kestrel, sir. I don't want a childhood. I want to be a ballet dancer.
Mr. Herriot, there's something wrong with Dog's pencil.
That's good. She's coming back.
I didn't want to have to do this, but one more push.
It's bread with nowt taken out.
I'm back, Reet. Let's do it. Up and I'll civvy.
Oh, that is perfect. Do you know, I cannot imagine a single reason why anyone from the North could find that in any way stereotypical or offensive. Melvin Bragg is going to be delighted. Right, now here are the copies of this week's radio play.
We are using
some very powerful documentary theatre techniques employed by the likes of Bertolt Brecht, Joan Littlewood, and the 10th Romsey Scout Group, where I learned them. Vicky, you will be the young northern girl through whose eyes we hear the history.
You want me to hear through my eyes?
It's radio, go with it, yeah. And Mel, you are going to be responsible for the chorus character, employing a vocal fugue to signify the spirits of the past, almost as though you're dancing with your mouth.
I am more than capable.
Just don't overdo it.
As if.
Dave, Jason and I will play the grandfather figures, and for absolute authenticity, all of our lines are taken from transcripts of actual conversations I had with the ex-miners I met in the social club last night.
Well, they spoke to you?
Yes, they were very forthcoming. Eventually.
Wow, pure verbatim theatre. How powerful. Isn't it?
BBC Educational Broadcasts, in association with the Grissock Mining Heritage Trust, are obliged to present Grissock. Our town in our words. A memory.
Remember. Remember. Remembering. Remember. 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 Remember.
I am
remember.
I am girl, young girl, girl of Grissock. But what do I know of the world and my fathers, and their fathers before them, and also their fathers before them, and probably the ones before that lot as well. No, no, what does she know, what does she know? How can we tell, tell, weave the spell.
Mining,
that were a dangerous, dirty way of life.
Dawn till dusk in the pit. Man's work, that.
You gonna buy us a drink or what, you massive southern git?
Don't read the... Don't read the bits I've crossed out.
Oh. I thought you said it was verbatim theatre.
Yeah, well, not everything they said was entirely relevant, so just, right, keep going. We're gonna break the theatrical spell.
But what know I, a child, a Grissock? Of what went before I, girl, was born in the past.
Before. Tell us more, before.
Mining were a dirty, dangerous way of life, but we had something the whole world wanted.
Talcum powder.
Hang on. Justin, hang on. Hmm? Talcum powder.
Yeah, what? What?
Yes.
No, yes, the talc mines of Grissock.
What, you mean they dug up talcum powder?
Well, how do you think it's made? I mean, what? Keep going.
Tell me of my lineage.
Lineage! Lineage! Tell me of my lineage. Tell me now of my lineage.
It might be just fractionally too much, Mel, but I don't know.
Where's me nuts? I asked for nuts.
That bit should be crossed out. But
we'd come out of Pithead blinking in sun. Our faces caked white with talcum soot. And our nostrils choked with the stench of lavender.
Strapping, powerful men with surprisingly soft hands.
He says he's off the telly, but I've never seen him in out. Great sack of mints. Looked a bit like Jeremy Clarkson.
Don't read that bit. Clearly not that bit. God, we almost made it work then. Keep going.
What does this mean for me as modern girl, my head full of Tamagotchi, loom bands and roller discos?
Talk! Talk!
Talk! Talk! Talk! Talk! Talk! Talk! Talk!
Finished.
I had to shovel up to 16 tons of talc a day, always alert to the cry of danger.
Gas! Gas in mine!
Lavender, lilac or violet with interphesia, the killer.
What know I of the toil of the pits, the horrors of the pits?
The pits. The pits are calling me. We are the pits! We are the pits! We are the pits! The pits! The pits! The pits!
What are you doing? What was that?
It's our evocative mining theme.
Yeah.
We're trying to eulogise the honest toil of the working man. We shouldn't have to yell over you proles prodding your instruments and jazzing everywhere.
I quite liked it.
Oh, thank you,
Salva. Yeah, right, can the staff not interact with the guest, please? I am trying my very hardest to produce a piece of meaningful theatre. You musicians are ruining it. Just
wine? You're drinking wine?
No.
Who do you think you are, a French woman?
Just don't.
Why are you writing all this down?
Don't stop. Don't.
I say we take him in the car park and give full Grissock welcome.
They were very challenging men. Right. everyone, for a future built on...
Tau.
Tau! Oh, sorry.
I spent literally minutes writing this, and you're ruined it.
Don't stamp on the floor. Remember what Sergei said in the office. It's flimsy.
Yeah, flimsy. Flimsy like someone's attitude towards performance. Good.
I gave my all, Justin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, next time, give a half. Now, on Rum Munch, it's that part of the show where we ask our special guest to read out a clipping that they brought in.
Indeed.
Oh, I love this bit. I'm still giggling about Des Lynam and that misspelt road sign last week.
That was great. Yeah. So I've got mine here. In the news this week...
Great start.
Yeah.
Police in Somerset are investigating the disappearance of a chemical toilet.
This is going to be great.
A spokesperson said...
Brilliant.
...that they have...
Here it comes.
...several lines of inquiry.
Oh, dear, no.
It's just a shame.
Sorry, what?
Well, you should have said, they have nothing to go on.
Yeah. The toilet, the police, nothing to go on. Classic.
No, but they have. They literally have several lines of inquiry. I mean, they've probably arrested someone by now for...
No, they have nothing to go on.
No, but that's the point, that they do. You know, the Somerset and Avon Police are very efficient. You know, they probably have a DNA database. So I imagine they could easily put together a list of suspects. I mean, it's quite a particular theft. I mean, imagine it'd be hard to hide them, you know, recovering the stolen goods.
Yeah, but Vicky, it's supposed to be funny.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just reading out the news.
Radio 4 already has someone for that.
Oh, right. Shall I try again?
Yeah, well, not now. Well, you know, maybe later. And now it's time for the traffic report with Geoffrey Chaucer.
At tramping town not fair from Canterbrega, two lanes be closed, there be no overtaker. Full many road walks making all the traffic slough, and carriage eyes must pass in contraflow. Upon the trains, the traveller must heed too. Full signal problems are there, eke in crew. His onward journey will he with anger curse, as there now run ye rail replacement booser. If on thy travels problems do you see, then send a texter with details straight to me. But note, I am full 700 years old, and really don't get on with mobile phones.
Oh, Justin, I've got another newspaper clipping. It's a funny one this time.
Great.
Go
for
it, Vicky. Yeah.
Okay, so... a large sinkhole has appeared on the A40 just outside Gloucester. Police are looking into it.
Is that it?
Yes.
What's funny about that?
Yeah, sinkhole, that's going to be hugely disruptive.
Well, yeah, but the police are looking into it.
Well, I should think they are. That section of the A40 is very busy.
I just hope no one's been hurt.
Oh, my aunt lives close to Gloucester. I better give her a call.
No. Police are looking into
it. Just leave it. Just leave it.
Have you had an accident at work? Then you need Mountfield's adult nappies.
Dave, please. Rum Munch Swivel Chair Theatre present Talc Through the Ages, a musical montage of the social and political history of talcum powder.
Grisuk.
Hooray!
A hard northern town with a soft centre.
A town of parched men and powdered pit poodles.
It's World War II.
Right, no, it'll do. Keep going.
And we talc miners have never worked harder.
Our talc is normally used round the back.
But now it's being sent to the front.
60% of wartime talc became the powder in powdered eggs.
The other 40% was used by the RAF to keep their martinis dry.
Meanwhile, in Germany... That's good.
With British talc imports suspended, countless Nazis are unable to put on their tight leather gloves. German scientists soon make an important breakthrough.
Mein Führer, good news. We have ways of making you talc.
Soon the war was over, and it was the swinging 60s. Do what you can. Oh, right.
But these are hard times for a soft mineral. Over in China...
A young man fleeing the Cultural Revolution...
Dave, don't do the voice.
I'm sorry. A young man fleeing the Cultural Revolution brings with him an ancient secret of the East, a cloth with all the absorbency of talc, but none of the faff.
This man, Tao Ling... Terry to his friends, is the nail in talc's coffin.
After years of talc falling out of bottoms, the bottom was now falling out of talc.
I mean... In your mind, Mel, where are you in the country?
Lancashire, you're...
Fine, right, whatever. That brings us to the modern day. Sorry, the drummer, we have a cymbal shimmy here.
No, I'm on strike.
What?
Me too.
Why?
Workplace bullying. You behaved in an unnecessarily overbearing manner when we were simply attending to our contracted duties.
Yeah, and you're always being mean about drummers.
So I've spoken to Bumache.
Bumache?
The Brotherly Union of Mellotron and Concert Harpsichord Entertainers. And they have authorised me to strike.
Yeah, and I've spoken to my union too, the Associated Rhythmic Syncopation Engineers Workforce Incorporating Percussion Entertainers.
Don't spell that out. People don't have to get it on the iPlayer if they want to hear that again.
We used to be called the Society for Hitting in Time, but that's spelled...
Yes, fine.
Sorry, Justin, this is a disgrace. I mean, this is amateurish.
We've done much worse.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I'm seriously unimpressed with this.
I know, Vicky, I know, but you pay peanuts, you get drummers.
No, I'm actually talking about you, Justin. You are in charge, supposedly. You bully your workforce, you underpay them, and you, frankly, you treat them with contempt.
Yes, and your point is?
If anything, that is the point, you know.
Is this what you all think? Well, think of me?
Yes.
You're on your own, as I'm on strike.
Yeah, and I'm working to rule.
What's the rule?
Never work with Justin again.
And I'm on a go slow. You may not notice much difference.
Vicky's opened our eyes to your mean-spirited wrongdoing. She says if we quit and work for her, we'll be properly treated and well paid.
Is this true, Miss Poppadinks?
Yes, Justin, it is.
Fine. I'll finish the play myself.
Oh, no, you won't. This is my show now. I'm taking over.
There's been a gosh.
She means a coup.
Yes, a coup. You're on your own, Justin. Purpled.
She means marooned. Look, this is my gang now, and we shall call ourselves the Bum Runch.
That just sounds like a dirty curtain accident. You can't take over. We're Mel, Dave, Jason, you, the drummer. Oh, God, what is it?
Davey.
Is it? Right, Dave. Yeah, come on, we're best mates, eh? Come on, Mel, remember that time in Dundee, eh?
What, that business in the van?
Oh, God, not that. That was a mistake. No. No, all zips look the same in the dark. All right. Remember Cromer, that moonlit night, strolling along the seafront after the show. We all drank champagne on the pier and looked out at the skies above us, and I saw a shooting star. And I said, hey, of all the stars in the world, the people I have around...
Sorry, I've got to stop you there. I don't remember that at all.
In Cromer, we got chased out of town.
You had to drink soup from my shoe.
I caught TB off a skinhead.
Yeah, right. We all remember things differently, don't we? But the point is...
No, just leave. Justin, crawl back to the massive hole you came out of. There's no room for your outdated ways, your amateurism and your contempt for your fellow actors. It is time for a new broom to sweep clean.
Fine. Yeah. You're right, you see the audience is sympathetic towards me. I know what I'm not wanted. Maybe it is time for this old broom to hang up his hat bristles. I'll just be off then.
Now, listen up. I'm going to get you physically fit, trained and ready for white-hot performance. No more half-finished scripts, no more under-rehearsed shows and no more smut.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Brilliant.
Justin may have got you fumbling to recreate the sounds and smells of a stinking pit with a huge shaft, but now I'm on top and that's where I like to be. You want fame? Well, fame costs. Yeah. is where you start paying in sweat, on your feet. Let's get dancing.
Dancing?
Yeah, come on, you slackers. And step two, three, four, step two, three, four, step ball, change, and side and front, and wing, and wing, and
she's
wing,
gone
and wing,
mad
and cross
ball,
change, and foot, and sleep, and please,
Vicky,
and
Vicky, I don't think this floor is sprung for dancing.
Oh, no, stop! The floor! We're above a mine!
It's a long mine shaft, that.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, nice soft landing, at least.
It's really glowing down there.
You know, I was chatting to a bloke in the canteen, and he said if any of the old pits were exposed, they'd have to evacuate the whole town for 400,000 years.
Why would that be, Dave?
Well, something about the shelf life of defeated geraniums. I wasn't really listening.
Oh, sorry, I just came back to get my guitar. Where's Vicky?
Oh, she's gone to the...
Butcher!
Dentist.
Vatican.
What?
Yeah. She had to buy some gammon and then have a filling done. By the Pope.
Oh, fair enough. So it's all going OK, is it? Without me?
Please come back, Justin.
Really?
Yeah, we've missed you, Justin.
Oh, yeah, we need you.
Oh, right. We do need to finish off the talc story, though.
Oh, no, that's all done,
Is it?
Yeah, there was a dance piece, and then we ended on a stark warning of the dangers of disused mine shafts.
Oh, great. Well, we'll still get the money from the museum.
Ooh, will I get paid?
Oh, Dave, I'd love to, but, you know, the expenses and the tax, the VAT and the TCP and the STDs. Mel, what are they saying?
Start the car.
Why would they say that?
No, we have to start the car and get out of here. I'll explain later. Dave, do the credits quicker than you've ever done them before.
Why?
Because otherwise you might grow a second head.
Oh, right, OK. You've been listening to Rum Bunch with Justin Edwards, Mel Gedroych, Dave Bamford and special guest Vicky Pepperdine. It was written by Justin Edwards, Toby Davis, Neil Edmund, Joel Morris, Jason Hazley and Lucy Porter. The drums were beaten by David Reed, the piano was tinkled on by Jason Hazley and the other noises were made by Jerry Peel. The producer was Jim North and it was a Top Dog production for BBC Radio 4.
Good morning, Grissom. And that was the last in the current series of Rum Bunch. Here's what we have for you next Wednesday evening at the same time.
This is the blue withdrawing room of Osborne House.
Six original comedy two-handers from the pen of John Finnemore.
At the doors, three ladies in waiting are, well, waiting.
Featuring Julia McKenzie, Kerry Godleman, Stephanie Cole and,
Oh, yes! The mechanical parrot!
John Finnemore's double act.
Mrs. Nesbitt, we are not used to being directly contradicted.
Oh, ain't you?
No.
Next Wednesday evening at 6:30 on BBC Radio 4.
Let the operation commence.
Toby has a turn of fortune in The Archers after the news.